I would like to again ask you to pray for me this morning. My scripture reading will come from the same verses that Brother Greg Powell read at the beginning of Sunday school this morning. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 2 and read along with me, I'll be starting with verse 1. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And I also want to read a few verses, if you would like to turn with me to the Gospel according to John, chapter 19. And I want to read the first five verses of John chapter 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again, and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, now listen, Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. And from reading from Luke 2 and John 19, that will be my scripture reading today. The title of my message this morning will be Mary Had a Son. And the thought that the Lord has placed up on my heart to share with you today is something that I don't know really how much time we spend or how much consideration we may give, how much we may spend time thinking about this, but I want to speak today about the humanity of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus was indeed the Son of God. I believe that with all my heart that Jesus was the Son of God. I believe exactly the scriptural account that we're given. I don't believe that Jesus had an earthly father. I believe the scriptural account of how the Holy Ghost came to this young maiden, this young virgin by the name of Mary, and told her that she was going to conceive, that she was going to conceive of the Holy Ghost, and that which would be born, which would be in her womb and would be born of her, would be the Son of God. I believe that with all my heart, that Jesus was the Son of God. He was also the son of this young woman named Mary. And when we read about Jesus, I believe it's important that we understand this properly, that Jesus was not part man and part God. That, you know, for somebody to say that, I don't believe would be proper. What I believe that he was he was all man and he was all God. He was both of those. And we find here that when we read in the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we find here that Mary delivered this child known as Jesus. She brought him into the world the same way that ever since the time that God took dust from the ground and formed man from that dust and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul. Now, we are all created by God. Every one of us is God's creation, but it was only Adam that was created in that way, directly from the dust. You and I come from dust through Adam, but God took dust and he formed Adam and breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul, and then he took a rib from Adam. And from that, he made Eve the first woman. And he told them to be fruitful and to multiply and replenish the earth. And so since that time, through what is called procreation, through a man and a woman, we come into the world. And so God, being the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and opening the womb of this young virgin and her conceiving by the Holy Ghost. And Mary carried that child in her womb the same as any mother has carried their children in her womb. She went through the normal time of pregnancy that a human female goes through. And she carried that child in her womb. And we read here in the second chapter of Luke about her delivering that child. I promise you that Mary went through labor. She had labor pains, and she experienced labor with the birth of Jesus, just like those of you here today that have born children have experienced that same thing. Jesus was a person. He was a man. He was born into this world a male child. We find a few things, just a few things that I want to share with you, and it always is amazing to me that the most important person that ever came into this world, we really were not given a great deal of information about him. We read about, and as I've read before you today, we read about the birth of Christ. We read about how that he was born into the world, and how that he was wrapped in the swaddling clothes, and how that he was laid in a manger there, how that he was born into the world in very humble, poor surroundings. After we read in the scriptures about the birth of Christ, we really don't know anything about him until about the age of 12, when we read about him staying behind there in Jerusalem when his parents left after the feast, and he stayed behind in Jerusalem, and when they got a day away, they had to come back to Jerusalem, and they found him there in the temple teaching the Jewish doctors, answering questions and asking questions. And then from that age of 12, the next thing that we are told in the scriptures about Jesus was when he had reached about 30 years old. And we begin to read about him commencing his public ministry. So there's a lot of the few years that Christ lived on the earth, there's a lot of those years that we were not given any information about him. But you know, I've always been convinced that God told us exactly what he wanted us to know. If from what I read in the scriptures, if everything that Jesus did in those years of his life had been recorded, if I was going to read that before you here today, I would have an impossible task, because the world wouldn't be big enough to fit all the books in it, let alone this pulpit up here. And so we really just have the information about him that God chose to give us in his word. But I do know this, that Jesus Christ came into the world in human form. He was born from the womb of a woman into the world, just like you and I have been born into the world. Just a few verses that I chose today to show his humanity. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 2, when we read about the temptation of Christ, when the devil took him there into the mountains and tempted him. In Matthew 4 and 2, it says, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward unhungered. You know what hunger is? Hunger is, it's human, isn't it? I mean, if any of you have ever been around me, you know it is. I mean, we get hungry, our bodies, because we are human. You know, we have human bodies, not spiritual bodies yet, and because of that, they have certain needs, and one of them is that they must be fed. If your human body is not fed, what's going to happen to it? It'll die. And so we find that in the fact that Jesus became hungry, we know that it is proof of his humanity. If we look in Mark chapter 4, verse 38, at a time when the Lord was out on a ship with his disciples, and there was a great storm that came up, and they began to be afraid. And the Bible will tell you there in Mark chapter 4, verse 38, that Jesus was in the hinder part or the back part of that ship, and it says that he was asleep on a pillow. He was human. His body needed to rest. His body needed to sleep, just like our body needs to sleep. If we look in John chapter 19, verse 28, this is something that is said about Jesus while he was actually on the cross during the crucifixion. He reached a point on the cross where Jesus said, I thirst. When he had seen that all things were accomplished, that all things were fulfilled, Jesus said, I thirst. And we can see in that he was human, because you and I know what it means to thirst. We know what it means to reach that point where we have to have something to drink. We have to have something to hydrate our bodies. And Jesus experienced that same thing. In fact, if you want to read just how thirsty that he really got, just go to the 22nd Psalm, and it'll tell you about his tongue cleaving to his jaws. I mean, he became parched and needed water, needed something to drink. If we look in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, when Jesus got news that Lazarus had died, and he made his journey there to Bethany, to where Lazarus was, when Jesus asked them, show me where you have laid him. The Bible tells us there that Jesus wept. We look at each other sometimes when we're here in our services and we see each other crying, don't we? We see each other weeping. Sometimes they're happy tears. Sometimes they're sad tears because of something that is afflicting our lives. But we are human and we weep about things. And I've heard people say all kinds of things about that verse. You know, you can believe what you want to about it. Some say that Jesus was weeping because, you know, of the Jews not believing. My belief is that it shows us the humanity, that his friend was dead and he wept because of it. He was a man. I can't imagine, you know, those of us, and I think about, and it's been mentioned here this morning, I think about the little babies that have been born here among the church this year. I think about my own little grandchildren that have recently been born into the world, and they were born into the world to live, weren't they? They were born to live. They were born in the world, and Lord willing, here in a few years, they're going to go to school, and they're going to get an education, and they're going to grow up, and they're going to, hopefully for all of them, I pray that they'll all become useful citizens of our society. That they'll be people that somebody else would be happy to live next door to. That they'll be productive. That they will... they're going to get jobs and they're going to get married and they're going to have families and all these things that go along with life because these children were born to live. But Mary's son was born to die. And if you could imagine that, I mean, when you had your children, when you held those children in your arms, you didn't have to think about that. You thought about the fact that these children were born to live. But when Mary held her son, and I'm going to tell you, I believe what the song said this morning. I do. I believe that Jesus Christ came into this world knowing what he was going to have to do. I believe before he ever became the incarnate Christ, before he was ever born in the flesh, he knew what was going to be required of him. He came into the world knowing that Golgotha was waiting for him. He came into the world knowing that he would suffer the things that he did. He came into the world knowing that that cross and those nails were waiting for him. He came into the world knowing that the crown of thorns would be placed upon his head. He came here knowing that he would be scourged. I believe that. I believe that he came knowing everything that he was going to have to face, but yet he came. He came. To these sisters that sang that beautiful song this morning, if that isn't love, then what is? To come here to die, knowing that he would have to face all of those things, but yet he came and he gave his life a ransom for our sins and made a way for us to be saved. I believe that Jesus experienced all of the human emotion that we experience. I believe he experienced every human pain that you've ever felt. I guess that I've gotten somewhat accustomed to living in the South, because when I was in Illinois this week, man, I froze. I didn't used to. I mean, I lived and pastored over there for about 11 years, and I guess I got accustomed to it. But when I was over there this time, and it wasn't nearly as cold as I've seen it over there, but I was cold. My body was cold. I believe Jesus. I believe he felt heat, cold. You know what? When the skies opened up, it rained on him just like it rained on every other human being. He experienced everything that you and I ever have or ever will experience. And he experienced those things as a man. As a man. And we need to get that. I mean, I believe we really need to get that. We need to understand that concept, because when Jesus Christ came into the world, as I said, he was a man. In fact, he was all man. He was God. He was all God. And Jesus Christ still had, when he walked here in the flesh, he still had authority. He still had power. We read about in the scriptures there in the 9th chapter of Matthew, when those men brought their friend to him there that was sick of the palsy, and they carried him on his bed, how that Jesus said to them, said to that man, your son, thy sins be forgiven thee, that he was God. He had the power and the authority to forgive sins on the earth. He had the power and the authority to heal people of all manner of disease. He had the power and authority to raise people from the dead. But listen, you take this dear old book. You take this book and you study it, and you study the life of Jesus, and you know what you'll find out about Jesus, the Son of God? That everything he did while he was on earth, everything that he did as God, he did it for the benefit of somebody else, not himself. Everything. He healed people for their benefit. We even find there in the 9th chapter of the gospel, according to Matthew, when he forgave that man of his sins, it wasn't for him to gain knowledge that he had the power to do that, was it? He said so to those that were, to those Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees, whoever it was that were there, he said, so that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, for their knowledge, for them to learn, for them to see that he was indeed the Christ. When he went and healed people, it wasn't so that people could gloat and boast about him, but he, everything that he did was to benefit somebody else. And friends, listen, I promise you this, that when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, when he had those nails in his hands and those nails through his feet and that crown of thorns on his head and his back ripped open by the scourging, when he was bleeding and suffering and thirsting and dying on the cross of Calvary, I promise you this, he wasn't doing it to make himself feel good. Who would do such a thing? He was doing it for, Brother Ronnie, for the benefit of all the world. You couldn't look at Jesus, according to what the Bible says, you couldn't look at Jesus and distinguish him from any other human being. When he came into the world, he wasn't even like King Saul. You know how the Bible talks about, you know, Israel wanted a king, how that Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else. He was a man of big stature and he was distinguishable among men. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2, speaking about Jesus, it says, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, There is no beauty that we should desire Him. Nothing special. He was common, ordinary in His appearance. The Bible says that He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Can you get that today? That's hard to grasp, isn't it? He was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. And when you think about it, it's not hard to imagine Him doing that if He did so as the Son of God, is it? I mean, if He used His deity, if He used the fact that He was God to His advantage, then it wouldn't be hard to imagine and comprehend, at least not as hard, of Him being tempted in all points like we are yet without sin. But listen, when He was tempted in all points like us and yet did not sin, He didn't do that as God. He did it as a man. As a man. When Jesus was kneeling in Gethsemane, praying to God, praying that God would give Him the strength to go through with the crucifixion, when His sweat became as great drops of blood falling to the ground because He was praying in such agony. Let me ask you a question today. Have you ever agonized before God in prayer? I know this. Everybody that's been saved has done it at least once. You know, perhaps not in the body, but in your soul you did. Agonized before God. With that burden. There have been times that I have agonized before God in prayer over things, but never like Jesus. Never like the Lord. He was in agony there, and He prayed with such earnest, in such agony, that His sweat became as great drops of blood falling to the ground. But that Jesus that was on His knees there in Gethsemane, praying that way, was the man, Christ Jesus. He faced all those things that He faced as a man. Now, when my children were growing up, and I know that this is true for my wife, for their mother, I know that this has been true with you here today that are parents. When my children were growing up, when they hurt, I hurt. I did. When their hearts were broken over something, it broke my heart. When they had physical pain, I shared their pain. I didn't feel it physically, but I hurt because they did. I never liked seeing them hurt in any way. I sat down with them many times and talked to them and tried to console them about something. I prayed with them when they were seeking the Lord to the point sometimes that it just seemed like I would drift away from the world because I agonized before God with them in prayer when they were seeking the Lord. When they hurt in any way, so did I. I've always said this, and I don't mean this to sound, I hope this don't sound wrong, but it's just a fact. I've said before that if you ever wanted to see the violent side of me, just mess with my kids. I would protect them violently if I needed to. And so I can't imagine. I can't imagine what it must have been like to have a child, to know that he was born to die. To stand there and, folks, listen, Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was present at the crucifixion. The Bible teaches us plainly, she was there. Now, I'm going to say this, that I don't believe that we were ever, that it was ever intended for us to worship Mary. I believe we are to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and only serve Him. But I can't imagine standing there knowing what I have experienced as a parent, knowing what I have felt when my children hurt, knowing how that it hurt me when they hurt. I can't imagine standing there seeing Him on that cross. Think about it for a moment. Because Mary had a son. Whatever you say, Jesus was her son. He was born from her womb. She gave birth to the Son of God. Think about how hard it would be to submit. What would you do? Would you have gone and tried every effort to rescue your son from such a thing, from such a fate, to submit? It was destined to be. It was ordained of God before man was ever even made. Jesus showed His concern for her even on the cross. He looked and there stood His mother next to the Apostle John. And Jesus looked and He said, "Woman, behold thy son." And He said to the Apostle John, "Man, behold thy mother." And he took her, the Bible says He took her to her, to His house from that day forward. He showed His concern for her while He was there on the cross of Calvary. Jesus came here and He walked in this world, God in the flesh. That's exactly what He was. God manifest in the flesh. He walked here in the world. He lived here as a man. He experienced the things He experienced as a man. He went to the cross and He was crucified as a man. But you know what? That centurion, when Jesus was crucified, when He gave up the ghost and that darkness came upon the earth, that man knew that they had crucified the Son of God, didn't he? He knew it. He experienced all those things as a man. But on the third day, He got up as God. He come from the grave with all of His power and all of His authority. And Brother Ronnie, the song is right. The next time He comes, there won't be a Calvary. The next time He comes, there won't be any suffering. The next time we see Him, He's coming in all of His glory and all of His splendor and all of His majesty as God. And He won't walk this earth anymore. And He won't suffer anymore. And He won't bleed and die anymore. Because the next time He comes, He's coming to deliver us. Amen. He's coming to deliver us from this evil world. So I want you to think about that. When you think about the Lord, when you think about everything that He did, you think about how that He faced these things, feeling pain like you and I can feel pain, emotional pain, physical pain. He hurt. He hungered. He got tired. He thirsted because He was a man. And He experienced those things for us in His humanity. Thank God that He did. Thank God that He did. I appreciate your attention today. I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas. I hope you have a wonderful time with your family. I hope you have a great time of fellowship. But the greatest things that I have in life and the great things today that I have to be so happy about, I have those things because Jesus came and suffered and died for my sins, that through Him I could have eternal life. And I'm going to go live with Him one of these days. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to go live with Jesus one day at His big house in heaven, there to give Him thanks forever and forever and forever for what He did for us here on the earth. I wish you all a Merry Christmas and pray God's richest blessings upon all of you. Wonder if anybody has anything on your heart today.